In the time of Chaim Volozhin, lived a Yid by the name of Reb Moshe Soloveitchik. Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, in the time of Reb Chaim Volozhin, was a Yid whose business was lumber. The man owned a forest with a lot of trees, and he was very matliach, and he was very well known in all the areas as being a big oisher, tremendous oisher. At the same time, also, he was very, very generous, and would give a lot of tzedakah to anyone who stretched out his hand. This would be his anhoget, would make business, would give tzedakah, and so on. It turned out that for some unknown reason, that after a while, all of a sudden, his business went totally under. And his tremendous ashiras that he had was totally lost. And it was a pelagodl because nobody could really pinpoint the actual reason why Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, why he had lost his ashiras. Looking at it from a business point of view, one cannot really understand and one cannot see such a tremendously great oisha, a great Baal Tzedakah. What happened here that all of a sudden that he lost all of his richness? Interesting is that based upon the order of Reb Chaim Volozhin, actually they set a bezin. And they set up a bezin meyuchid in order to check out the asokim, the business dealings of Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, and maybe thereby to find out what caused this sudden turnaround that he became a yoyred min hachosos, and he lost everything that he owned. The Dayanim sat through and they went through all of his hanhogis. They couldn't find any wrongdoing per se, that maybe this is samoinish min hashamayim. They couldn't find it. As they went through and looked at various records, going back many, many weeks, months, and possibly years, and they could not find anything to be able to pinpoint that this might be a sibah why he lost his ashiras. Lamaisa, it turns out, and they said that they found one avera. And he said it jokingly, that if there's any avera to be found in Reb Moshe Soloveitchik in the way that he dealt with money, there was one avera. With Zayver and Divach HaChomim, Chazal say, HaMevazvez al Yivazvez Yosef Mechoymish. The maximum a person should give to doctor should not give more than a fifth. He gave more than a fifth. That must be his only avera that he had. No, this man is such a tremendous Baal Tzedakah. He loses his Nechosim. And Meila Reb Chaim Volozhin came to a maskona that it cannot be. That of course this would be a sibah that he would be nena shavada, even though Chazal, like you said, hamavazah zehivazah, the shetnetayrin. Not to go into it now, this is a whole sugya about when sometimes it is mutter even to give more than a chaimish, but upon him, this certainly was not the sibah that he was punished in the shemayim, that he lost everything that he owned. In the meantime, this Reb Moshe, being that he was out of business, so what did he do? So therefore he decided he has time. So he spent his time most of the day in the Beis Medrash. And basically became sort of like a koyli in Laman. You go to the Beis Medrash and he sits and learns. And very quickly it turns out that he realized he was a tremendous Baal Kishrin. He had a tremendous mind. And he had a tremendous koyach in learning. And he was matzliach. And he was considered to be in the Beis Medrash in a short while as to be one of the greatest of all of the learnedom around. The Reb Moshe Soloveitchik. In addition, he took his children and brought them with him to the Beis Medrash until his children turned out to be actually Gedolim B'Torah Mamish. Many years later, Reb Chaim Volozhin says, now I understand. Says, now I understand the sibeh that why min hashamayim it turned out that Reb Moshe Soloveitchik should learn everything, should lose everything that he owned. It appears that Shemayim wanted to give him a legacy of Ge'oinim B'Torah. By the way, out of him comes the Beis Halevi, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, and the whole Shalshelis Brisk comes from Reb Moshe Soloveitchik again, who he lived at that time. He was in the Tkufa of Reb Chaim Volozhin. And Shemayim wanted to give a legacy, that a great legacy of Ge'oinim B'Torah should come out of this Reb Moshe Soloveitchik because he gave a lot of tzedakah. In other words, as Yitzchak, what could be the greatest reward than a Shemayim? What would be the greatest reward in the Shemayim to give a Yid with such a great Baal Tzedakah? The greatest reward would be that he should be Zoyche, that his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that they should be Goyim B'Torah, should be Gedolim B'Torah. However, said Reb Chaim, from Ashirim, you don't get such goyim in b'teire. You have to learn Torah m'teich atzchak. And therefore, in order to bring that about, that a Moshe's elevation should be aloy m'teire m'teich atzchak, the Shemaim took away all of his ashiris, but the reward for all of his tzedakah was that as a result, now, it will be zoyche to have children and great-grandchildren which are goyim in b'teire. That, says Reb Chaim, that is the interpretation, that is the pishon, that's the solution. That is what actually happened behind the scenes when the Shemaim was orchestrated, that the Moshe's elevation, the great Osher, that all of a sudden he becomes an Oni, in order that now he himself becomes the Loi Metoyer Metoyer Chatchak, and out of him now will come the greatest Egoinim Metoyer. Interesting that this Maise was told by Shmuel David Varshavchik, who heard it from Rabbi Soloveitchik. So it seems that this is Mekubal in the family, that where the bracha came from, or actually where the Shairish of this chus of Shalshelis bricks comes out from the original. His name was also Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the first. The time of Chaim Elojan started out to be a great Osher, then the tables were turned. So that's a very interesting observation. We start Perek Yud Beis in the Nefesh HaChaim, but we want to look just at the first piece on the sheet that we have here. If we go to Nefesh HaChaim, and just this is a wonderful pshat of Rav Chaim, and this has to do with just the finishing touches of what we learned and discussed last week, about where the Nefesh HaChaim points out Godless Odom, even greater than Malochim. So here's another aspect where this becomes evident. Practically speaking, Godless Odom, even higher than Malochim. It's brought down in the Sefer Imrachim from the Yehuda Levenberg, Choshev Tam Chochem, actually in Lakewood, many Chalokim Imrachim, but in the Hagdomah. And this is a well-known part, but we have it in print over here, so from the Sefer I have it here. We take a look here. Kvar noyde b'shar b'yisrabim. It's known b'shar b'yisrabim divrei moren hagrach, that's how. The B'chaim said, demrinen v'matbeya shel amiris kedusha. When we say kedusha, we say the following words. We say, l'umosom baruch yoneru. The Malachim say baruch l'umosom, in the faith of the others. What does it mean, l'umosom? Malachim say baruch l'akadosh baruch hu, l'umosom, facing the others. What does it mean, facing the others? What is the intent of that phrase? Because yemau hakavono b'zeh. Romar, so Reb Chaim said, avimad isa b'megillah chav gimel omad beis. The Gemara says, the Megillah omar abchi barabba. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Akro, we know from the Pasuk, v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, Kedusha has to be say among b'nei Yisrael. And the Gemara learns out, it means that kol dover she b'kedusha lo yehei pochus ma'asorah. Kaddish cannot be said unless you have a minion. Kaddish is a dover shebikdusha. It's called Kaddish. Kedusha is a dover shebikdusha. You need a minion. Without a minion, you cannot say Kedusha. Because v'nikdashti, when we sanctify Hashem's name with something which has a shame of Kedusha, Kedusha can only be said with a minimum of a minion yidin. It has to be b'soich b'nei Yisrael. What is the minimum of b'toich b'nei Yisrael? The Gemara learns out, it's a minion. 10 yidin. So v'im came. So being that this is a halacha, that you need a minion in order to say Kedusha, we have an obvious kasha. Hikim shadovah shabik dusha nemeris, rak ba'asoro, if dovah shabik dusha can only be said about asoro, kosha, eich yecholim malachi ashor esloim kedusha. How are malachim able to say Kedusha, harei habe dovah shabik dusha? Kedusha is, again, it's a dovah shabik dusha. Ube malachi ashor esloim shayich tzibur shal asoro. Malachim are not physical entities. There's no such thing as being mitzarif one malach with another. Tapke by B'nai Yisrael, when you're dealing with people, you have an Eidah. You have a Shem of an Eidah. You have a Shem of a Tzibur. Let's understand something. A Tzibur is not merely 10 Yechidim. But a Tzibur, as Rambam tells us in Vayikra, a Tzibur becomes one entity of a Tzibur. You have 10 members, maybe. You can have 100 members. Klal Yisrael are one Tzibur. Shutzim, Rabbi Isai, is not the same as Tzibur. You have a Korban Tzibur and you have a Korban Shutzim. Korban Shutzim means that you have two individuals, Shutzim. Tzibur is not 100 individuals, 100 shutzim, 50 shutzim. Tzibur is one entity, made up as many members that you may have, but all of them are collectively one body. Question is, being that there's no concept of a tzibur, there's no concept of a tzibur by Malachim, so how is it possible that Malachi Ashars are able to say Kedusha? And Rav Chaim suggested the following, and we learned it also in the Nefesh HaChaim last week. The Gemara says in Chum, that ein malachei ashoris oimrim shira lemailo achiyomru yisrael lamato. One of the indications that malachim take second place to bnei Yisrael is the fact that Malachim have to stand and wait. And they cannot say Shira, they cannot say Kedusha until the Bnei Yisrael say it down here. Shenemar, as the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, first it says, Beron Yachat Koich Reboiker. Beron is Loshin Rino. Who sings first? Beron Yachat. There is a singing of togetherness, Koich Reboiker, means the Bnei Yisrael that are compared to the stars. Then it says, Behodar, afterwards the Pasuk says, Vayariu called Bnei Elohim. Bnei Elohim is referring to the Malochim. Vayariu Bnei Elohim. In order for the Bnei Elohim to be able to shout, so to speak, to be able to say their Kedusha, that's afterwards. First is Baron Yachat Koich Veboiker. That's the Gemara. Ein Shom. What does it mean? What is the insight of this halacha? Reb Chaim understands. What is the base of this halacha? That Malochim have to wait and to say Shira until Bnei Yisrael say first. Now you might remember Nefesh Chaim had his own mahalach in that. Nefesh Chaim's shot is because Kedusha is not Stam and Amira. It's not Stam to say Kedusha, to mention some words. But Kedusha, when you say Kedusha, Reb Chaim pointed out, you're actually elevating the higher worlds. Malachim don't have the ability to do that. Malachim cannot do that until the Bnei Yisrael first charged with their Kedusha. They are now elevating the world. So now Malachim, through the Koyach of Odom, also have the ability to achieve and to accomplish when they say Kedusha. But it's only because the movement has already begun, has been started through the Bnei Yisrael. Reb Chaim suggests a different reason. Reb Chaim Brisker suggests the reason that Malachim cannot say Kedusha until Bnei Yisrael, because Malachim Bechlal have a problem with saying Kedusha because you need Atzor. And Malachim themselves cannot make up a Tzibur. So Reb Chaim Bahabir, what the Gemara means that Malachim wait for Bnei Yisrael, Be'af Legabe Malach HaShoresh, that even though, regarding Malachim Lo Shayach Behen Tzibur, who Be'atzmom on their own, Einam Yecholim Lo Eim Kedusha, Mekomukim La'achad Yisrael Eim Kedusha Basorah, but once the Yidden down here are saying Kedusha Basorah, Yecholim Malachi Asharis Lehitzarif Yachad LaHatzibur Shel Yisrael Lehme Kedusha. Okay, it's also a Kiddush. But upon what it means is that Malachim on their own cannot create a din in the halach of a Tzibur. But once you have a creation of a Tzibur to the Bnei Yisrael, Malachim merely have to be connected, to be mitzarev themselves to the Bnei Yisrael, and therefore they already are able to say Kedusha based upon the fact that the entity of Tzibur, the concept of Tzibur, has been created by Bnei Yisrael. If that is true, says Reb Chaim, so b'zem is boyer, so now we can also understand. He says, ma she'oimrim b'kedusha shel tfilas musaf. We say, kevoidem aloyoylum, mishorsof she'yalim zelozet, ayim ikon kevoidoy. Where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor reside? And the answer is, and then it says, u'umosom baruch yomeru. What does it mean? Says Reb Chaim, the pshat comes out wonderful. Hainu af al pi she'kevoidem aloyoylum, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covered, fills the entire world. But the Malachim are asking the question, where is the Malachim? How do we have the ability? Show me the place we are able to say Kedusha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all, you need a din of a Tzibur, and we don't have a loch of a Tzibur. And the answer is, v'zehu damrinen, le'umasam, facing Klal Yisrael. That's what the le'umasam means. On their own, the Taki cannot say it. That lo umasam baruch yomeiru ha'ina lo umas klal Yisrael kishehein oimri kedusha. So when klal Yisrael themselves are saying kedusha, like oz baruch da'ina kedusha, baruch means kedusha, yomeiru the malachei hashoras. So here again we see a very wonderful pshat that we see. The malachim on their own cannot say kedusha, they cannot say this kind of yeshira, they have to wait and to come on to the klal Yisrael, bnei Yisrael down here, they say kedusha first, and only then do the Malachim have the ability to say it. So now we go to Rabbi Isai. We move on here with Perik Yudbeis. So here in Perik Yudbeis, Rabbi Chaim, Nefesh HaChaim, basically discusses the repercussions of man's actions. That's basically the subject matter of Perek Yudbeis. The repercussions of man's actions. And Chaim starts out and he says as follows. Uma shehanaram shelo odom. You might remember, as was mentioned already in Perek Yud, that Reb Chaim there pointed out, first of all, we know that man's neshama is made up of three parts. The Rosh HaTevis, again, in the Bala Mikubalim is Naram. Naram is Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Nefesh being the lowest level, Ruach being the next level above it, and the Neshama being the higher level. And the Nefesh HaChaim pointed out to us in Perek Yud that as great as the Neshama of man is, it's a chelik alakai mimal, it comes from the Kisei HaKovet, but the ability that we see that man is capable, as we pointed out, through his actions, through his deeds, to destroy worlds, to build worlds, to be able to elevate higher worlds, the Neshama, as great as she is, needs the physical body of man. And until the Neshama actually descended and went into the physical body of man, the Yipach Ba'apach Nishmas Ruach, Nishmas Chai, so the din is, but the Metzias comes out, that the Neshama does not have the ability to do it. It needs the physical body of man. So B'chaim points out as follows, Umashe Hanaram Shalodom. That which we mentioned, that the three levels of a person's Neshama, which is Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, Eim B'yicholosom L'kasher Oilemus. We pointed out that they do not have the ability to connect and to elevate the upper world, Adriditom L'mala B'guf Odom, until the Neshama actually comes down, until the Neshama really comes down and enters the human body, Kiniske Leel the Perigud, as was mentioned in Perigud. And Rav Chaim points out the Sibur for this. Why is that so? That the Neshama of man, which is the, of course, the Neshama is much higher than the Guf, and as great as the Neshama is, does not have the ability to do and to achieve until actually it enters man's body. The reason is, Because in order to rectify this world is called the Olam HaAsiyah, the world of action. So in order to have the ability to rectify, to be misakin this world, the Olam HaAsiyah, the Olam of action, so behechrich leislabesh beguf boilam hamaisa. So therefore the Neshama has to enter human body in the physical world. V'chei motzinu kama mikroyis ha-medabrim v'ilu ha-gimu b'chinis hanal. Chaim tells that there are many psukim that tell us about the three different levels, but all the three levels, in order to be able to rectify this world is called the Olam HaAsiyah, the Olam of action, but therefore it has to enter the physical world. The physical world is this world. This world is the physical world. It's the Olam HaAsiyah. The Neshama, unless it's part of the Olam HaAsiyah, cannot be misaking this world, which is the Olam HaAsiyah. Now, just understand this a little bit better, just let's make one hakdama. And that is, according to the Zohar HaKodesh, which is very fundamental, there are basically four worlds. The Rosh HaTevis is Abia, Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. The highest world is called the Olam HaAtzilus. That's the Aleph. Then comes the Beis. The next world is the Olam HaBriya. Then is the Olam HaYetzirah. And the Ayin is the Olam HaAsiyah. That's the lowest level. That's our world. That's what Reb Chaim is referring to. Kilosakin Olam HaAsiyah. That is the lower world. In other words, just very, very briefly, the highest world, the first of the four, the Olam HaAtzilus, literally translated is the world of the emanations. What it means basically is the world of the divine, which means that's the world that is closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the Olam HaAtzilus, the world of the divine. Next comes what we know is the Olam HaBriya, the world of creation. The world of creation, not talking about this world. The Olam HaBriya is referring to the world of the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the Kisei HaKovet is. Kisei HaKovet, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, that's in the Olam HaBriya. Then comes the lower world after that. Below that, there's the Olam HaYetzir, that's the world of the Malachim. And Olam HaAsiyah, the world of action, that's our world, the world of the human, human beings. In general, this is this world, this is Olam HaZeh, this is Olam HaAsiyah. So therefore, Reb Chaim points out, in order to be able to rectify this world, which is the Olam HaAsiyah, it's necessary for the Neshama also to enter human body, which is in the physical world. Now, Reb Chaim goes on to tell us, regarding the concept that was mentioned, regarding the concept that our ma'asim, that our deeds, have an impact in higher worlds, says Reb Chaim the following, regarding the concept that our ma'asim is able to create the hisayris l'mayla, that our actions down here have an impact in the upper world, as we mentioned many times, Reb Chaim mentioned it many, many times. So regarding that, we find that Dovra Melech Olav HaSholem that he said the following. And we all know that Posik, the Posik we said in the Davening in Shabbos also, we say, Hayotzer Yachad Libom Hamevin al kol maseyim. But the Melo says in Tilem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually, that he fashioned their hearts of the people, right? That's HaYotzer Yachad Libon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fashioned the hearts of the people. Not only that, HaMevin El Kol Maseyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands, he comprehends all the deeds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands every pe'ula, every move that we make. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands your machshavis, your kavonis, your purpose, your tachlis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a maven, it says, El Kol Maseyim. So Reb Chaim is medayik, he says that actually, grammatically, the pasuk should have been written. The pasuk should have said, HaMevin Kol Maseyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comprehends all their deeds, not the El, because El means towards their deeds. What's the towards? What does it mean, HaMevin HaKadosh Baruch Hu comprehends everything, right, towards their deeds? What's the towards? HaMevin Kol Maseyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands, he comprehends everything that they do. What's the El? What's the HaMevin El Kol Maseyim? Reb Chaim says here again, Reitz Eloima. So there Reb Chaim says, you know what El Kol Maseyim means? The Pasuk intends to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu discerns HaNoigeya LeMaseyim. Not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, understands what you're doing, knows what you're doing, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes the consequences of your actions. The consequence where your actions are leading to. Shehu HaYotzrom Yizborach Shemoy. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically, who fashioned man, Hayudea Umevin. And by the way, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to know how far-reaching the devastating effects or the very positive constructive effects. Arhechem Maseyem Magim. To know how far a person's actions have impacted. V'noigim v'tikune oylemus. And therefore they have achieved rectifying, elevating upper worlds. Oyle hepechaz v'sholem. Or maybe the opposite. So the Pasuk says, so Reb Chaim actually says, this idea, this notion, that man, through his actions down here, has far-reaching effect in the upper world, and Reb Chaim showed already from various different psukim as well, but he suggested that's also the kavanah what Dovid HaMelech is saying. And Dovid HaMelech says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is a mevin el kol maseyim, which means the direction where your maisim are going. What does it mean? It means that when you're doing a maisim down here, the tremendous impact that it has in the upper world. Hein l'toiv, and as Reb Chaim says, oyle hepechaz v'sholem. That's HaMevin El-Kol Maseyim. And Reb Chaim doesn't stop there. And the Nefesh HaChaim continues and he says, that V'chein Keheles Omar. Also we find Shlomo HaMelech says in Keheles, he says, Ki es kol matzei holikim yovid b'mishpot al kol nelam. Now, Poshet Pshat, by the way Rashi teaches in Keheles, and the Nefesh HaChaim departs from that Pshat, and says a different Pshat, and Agavruch, the Pshat that Nefesh HaChaim here suggests, is actually one can see it, and mashma that that's in fact with the targum, how the targum was pshat in the posik. The way Rashi was pshat in the posik, let's look at the posik again. He has called maaseh olekim. There should be sort of like a comma after the word maaseh, which means like this: He has called maaseh. No matter what you do, olekim yovi b'mishpat, you will stand in judgment. I'll call melam on everything that even if it might be hidden. You think nobody knows, nobody saw it, because Baruch Hu will judge you on all of your maaseh. So let's look at the pasuk again. There's a separation, according to the simple pshat, the way Rashi understands it, between the word ma'aser and the word holikim. The word holikim goes ahead. Ki es kol ma'aser, right? Regarding all of your actions, comma, what about it? Holikim yovi b'mishpot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you to judgment. You'll be held accountable for everything you do. Reb Chaim says no. Reb Chaim's point is that ma'aser holikim goes together. Ki es kol ma'aser holikim. So what's the intent of the pasuk? If you connect the word ma'aseh with the word holikim, the Reb Chaim as follows. Layoma, the pasuk doesn't say, it should have said, instead of starting, ki es kol ma'aseh holikim, in other words, if the kavanah of the pasuk is merely to tell you, if the kavanah of the pasuk is merely to tell you, the way Rashi understands, it doesn't mention here Rashi, but if the kavanah of the pasuk is merely to tell you, that whatever you do, you stand in judgment, Reb Chaim says the pasuk should have rather said, Layoma, should have said, ki holikim yovi b'mishpat, it's kol ma'aseh. Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, will take you to task for everything you do. It says, Ki es kol ma'aseh hu elokim yovi b'mishpat. Bahainu, he says, the intent of the pasuk is, Ki elokim perushoi again bala koiches kulon. As we said many, many times, and so it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. We have two different shemes. We have the Shem Hashem, Yudkei Vodkei, and we have the Shem Elohim. There are different kavonas that a person is supposed to be mechavin when you see the Shem Yudkei Vodkei. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Yudkei Vodkei. What are you thinking when you say, when you utter the Shem? When you see the Shem Yudkei Vodkei, a person has to have a mind, Yudkei Vodkei, Hoyo, Hoy Veviyeh. The Rakosh who was, he is, and will always be. That is the kavona in Shem Havaya, Yudkei Vodkei, Hoyo, Hoy Veviyeh. What are you supposed to be mechavim when you have the shame, the other shame, the shame Elohim? Elohim means takif ubal yecholes ubal akoyches kulam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful. That basically, in a nutshell, in a simple way, that's what you have mechavim. When you, wherever you see, in the davening, you see the word Elohim. So what do you think about Hashem when you're saying Elohim? When Hashem is depicted with that shame, when Hashem is being described by the shame Elohim, what are you supposed to think about? When you're thinking about Hashem, you think about Hashem's power. That Hashem is the all-powerful. So, behind it, says Reb Chaim, being that this is the case, Ki Elohim Perusha Bal HaKoyches Kulon, he says an amazing pshat. Being that the word Elohim, that's already a given. That you don't need me for, says Reb Chaim. We know that. We know that Elohim, the Kavon of the Shem Elohim means Bal HaKoyches Kulon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful. So, Be'eis HaMoid HaAdam LeMishpot, which when Mamelech is saying Kehelet, when a man is going when the time comes, when the time comes that Hashem will judge a person, Lefonov Yisborach Shemoi, I want you to know, says Nefesh HaChaim, the Pesuk is telling us, Lo Yodoyinu Es Amatz Levado Kivi Shehi. Don't make a mistake in limiting the judgment. Do not think that Hashem is only going to judge you for the act itself as such, but rather Ach Yachshivu, but in Shemayim they will also reckon in he will also be judged for all of the repercussions his actions had in the highest world. It's a frightening thought to behold. A person does an aveirus, they did an aveirus. So whatever that aveirus, the oinish of that aveirus. Now, since we become aware that when you do an aveirus, it's not just you did an aveirus. You did an aveirus, so mamela, you rebelled against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But that's only one chelik of it. But it didn't end there. Whenever you do an aveirus, what you also did is you have destroyed. You have literally destroyed upper world. You have dragged them down. You have lowered this world. You have lowered the upper world. You have lowered even the level of the malachim. As Reb Chaim told us, malachim lekim oilim beyardim boy, where the angels go up or when angels go down, their madrega goes up and down to fluctuate. And who does it depend on? Boy. Depends on the human being. That's the koyach of Adam. That's the tremendous far-reaching effect of an Adam. Says Reb Chaim, I want you to know when you stand in judgment, they're not only going to judge you for the actual miser, but how much damage did you cause? How much damage? What impact do you have in the Chorbonus, in the Yolam Esal Yoinim? Im Toiv, both sides. The Toiv Avada, you'll get extra schar, not just for doing the mitzvah, but for all of the positive, tremendous elevation in Kedusha that you have added through your miser in the upper world, that's all going to be included. Bimra, and also the Hefech, if you cause destruction. The Cholak Kroiches V'Oilamus, he says, in all of the higher worlds, and so on. V'zehu omroi, ma'aseh Elohim. Oh, that means like this. It's a very fascinating pshat. The word Elohim in this context does not mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word Elohim, according to Reb Chaim, does not mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elohim is a key word or a code word, meaning Baal HaKoyches Kulam. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful. Guess what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you an all-powerful. You thought that when you're doing an action down here, so it's an isolated act and only has to be viewed from your standpoint, from where you're standing. I want you to know, when you do something, to define an act of a human being is defined as a ma'aseh Elohim. In other words, you have caused godly, your powers have godly reactions, which means it's so far-reaching. It's beyond human ability. It's beyond normal human ability. And that's what it means, ma'aseh Elohim. Ma'aseh Elohim means you do something down here, and yet you have an effect in Shemayim. That's not a human koyach. That's ma'aseh Elohim. That's the bechina of Baal HaKoyach es Kulam. So the Pesuk says, Ki es kol ma'aseh Elohim. Ma'aseh Elohim are the consequences of your actions. When you do something, you're doing something with the koyach of ma'aseh Elohim, you are a Baal HaYecholes, you are a Baal HaKoyaches. Your actions here have actually had effect on the upper world, L'toiv al-ra. These consequences, which is called Ma'aseh Elohim, the tremendous power that you have. The tremendous power that you have is called Ma'aseh Elokim. And that, Yoveh B'Mishpat, that will be taken into consideration. What was the Ma'aseh Elokim? Was it a positive Ma'aseh Elokim? Or was it the opposite? Was it a Ma'aseh Elokim that brought churban, that brought destruction? Okay, it's called Ma'aseh Elokim. It's going on the man who has the power, the ability to do what's called Ma'aseh Elokim. Beyond human koyches. He stands down here, a person offer min adoma, and he has such far-reaching impact and effect on the upper world. The Ma'aseh Elokim of a human being, the Ma'aseh Elokim of a human being will be taken to task. His consequences, as Reb Chaim says, Hanoygei el ma'aseim. That's why he said, El kol ma'aseim, as he said before. Not only the act itself, but El kol ma'aseim. The direction where your actions have reached and have effected. That's what it means, Ma'aseh Elokim. And Reb Chaim goes on to say further, and he says, V'yomar. And he says now a tremendous thing further. It says, Ki es kol ma'aseh. Ki es kol ma'aseh. Ki es means, as if to say, that. Should have said, Ki al kol ma'aseh. That for everything that he does. What's ki es? So the Roma, the Pesuk says, Ki es kol ma'aseh. It doesn't say, below, it doesn't say, Ki al kol ma'aseh. He'll be held accountable for everything that he does. The inyan of Ki es kol ma'aseh, says Reb Chaim, comes also to tell us another thing, another tremendous thing, again, in Gavlus Odom. For Inyan Kamoy Shomar, as we find the Pasuk in Iyiv. In Iyiv, the Pasuk says, Ki Poyal Odom Yishalem Loi. What does it mean, Ki Poyal Odom Yishalem Loi? It means when a man does something, he gets paid. The B'chaim says it doesn't merely mean when a man does something, he will get paid. The B'chaim is going to tell us the act itself is going to pay you. The act that you have done, Ki Poyal Odom, the ma'aseh that you have done, Yishalem Loi, that's going to pay you. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean if I do a mitzvah, the mitzvah itself is going to pay me? What does it mean, the mitzvah that I have done, the mitzvah is going to give me reward? What does it mean? So here comes the Nefesh HaChaim, and tells us the following. Hukimoychen is Bayer L'maylo, as we learned above in Perek Vav B'Hagot. In Perek Vav B'Hagot, we didn't do every Hagot L'maiseh. But there was mentioned the following. Shema'ei she'oila al toyar machsheves or odom lasis mitzvah. He says, from the moment when a person thinks of doing a mitzvah. Reb Chaim tells us, machshava of a person even. Forget about his deeds. Even the machshava of a mitzvah creates and achieves a tremendous impact. Namely, Reb Chaim tells us that al toyar machsheves odom. When a person has a positive machshava lasis mitzvah, teikiv nasa rishum elamala. Even before you have done the mitzvah. So let's say I have a machshava that I'm ready to do a mitzvah. I want to do a mitzvah. The mere thinking about doing a mitzvah, the mere wanting to do a mitzvah, that does not go to waste. The machshava on its own already has a constructive and it has a beneficial effect in the higher worlds. As he points out, teikiv nasa rishum elamala, that machshava already leaves the Reishim in Shemayim, the Shor Shor Elyon, in its upper roots. Namely, what does it do? Livnois velintoya kame oilemis v'koychet el yoyden. That machshava already creates, it builds, it constructs all different types of power and elevations in the upper world. Kotsuv, as it's mentioned in Yeshaya, v'osim dvorai b'ticho. You have the power in Toya Shemayim. You basically are able to create new heavens, so to speak, new worlds, upper worlds, elevating them. That's also the koyach of your actions. And Uba Mamoram Zal, and also we know, as we say, the end of the brachas, which is mentioned, and we say in the davening, we say, B'chol Bonayich, Limudi Hashem, Altikra Bonayich, not only your children, Ela Bonayich, your builders. It means that through our actions of Torah mitzvahs, we build. We are builders. What do we build? We're building tremendous oilemis. We are elevating oilemis. We are creating new oil, new light. We are creating kedusha. Kemoi savnu lemailo. Umameila says Reb Chaim, so it doesn't stop there. Reb Chaim now continues on. Reb Chaim says further. Reb Chaim says, so ultimately says, umameila mis oirer umamshich gam olaf oir makis. So now, here's what happens. A very interesting thing. Reb Chaim tells us the procedure. Before even a person completed a mitzvah. And by the way, if you're talking that a person would sometimes start a mitzvah and you don't have the schiyah to complete it, what really gives a person the power to go ahead and achieve that which he sets out to do? The koyach of the machshava is not stam a machshava, but it generates a force of energy. A machshava generates a force of energy of kedusha. Namely, number one, it leaves a reishim lamala, it creates a reishim lamala, and already, as we point out, has a beneficial constructive effect on the upper worlds. Now, as a result of that, what means that a holy celestial light, a holy light of Kedusha is reflected back on him. His machshavah, which created Kedusha in Shemayim, so now it comes back, it's like a circle. His machshavah creates Kedusha in Shemayim. That Kedusha now comes and surrounds him. He is surrounded with an Oyer Makiv. He is surrounded with a holy light, right, which is reflected on him. That Oyer of Kedusha, he says, that Oyer of Kedusha, the Hua Misayoy Legomre, that helps him carry out the mitzvah. So in other words, a man actually, we say, Habola Tayo, we say, Mitzvah Misayoy Soy. A person wants to do a mitzvah, wants to purify himself, Shemayim helps him. The truth is, he himself created the energy for that. Because by thinking even, just about doing a mitzvah, so he said, the Koyach of the Machshava leaves the tremendous Reishim in Shemayim, and it already builds worlds and builds Kedusha. It creates, right, tremendous light of Kedusha. That light of Kedusha shines down, it reflects upon him, so now man is enveloped by an Oyer of Kedusha. That Oyer of Kedusha, if you're in an environment of Kedusha, it's much easier to do a mitzvah. Difficulty to do a mitzvah is when you want to tear yourself away from the physical world. But when you're in an environment of Kedusha, totally consumed environment of Kedusha, so now that you do it, you only want to do a mitzvah. So the Oyer of Kedusha, through your machshava, is which is going to help you to be mekayim the mitzvah of the maisa. The machshava is going to lead the maisa through the Oyer of Kedusha that was created through your machshava. Now, afterwards, once you already have completed the mitzvah, you know what happens? The light of Kedusha goes back to Shemayim. Once the light of Kedusha has reflected upon you and it completed its goal, so now the light of Kedusha goes back to Shemayim. And what does it do? Listen to this. He says, Ba'acha goyim re'amitzvah, is tremendously fascinating. He says, after you have already completed the mitzvah, ha'kedusha v'hoyer mistalik lishorshot. So now he says, what happens is that all of this light, this holy light, returns to a source. V'zehu, know what he says. This is something probably no one has heard before. V'zehu inyan schar ha'olam habo. Listen to this definition. This now becomes the schar of olam haba, which is the reward, right? The reward that you have created through your mitzvah. Meaning, he says, shumasa yidei odam atzmoi. You have created your olam haba. She'acha pridas nafshe me'aguf. That after 120, when your neshama will leave your body, where does it go? It goes to olam haba. So we always know, the way we always understood it is, there's a place called Gan Eden Shemayim, right? That's we always understood it. That's the normal understanding. Right? There's a Gan Eden Shemayim. Well, according to how much you deserve, right? You're going to go in Gan Eden. You're going to take your place in Gan Eden. According to Reb Chaim, the reward of Olam Haba is not that there's a place called Gan Eden and you go to that Gan Eden. No. You go to the Gan Eden that you have created. Every person creates his own Gan Eden. By doing a mitzvah, you have created the oyer. This oyer, just starting out even with the machshava already. That will help you be messiah you, that helped you and assisted you to be able to complete the mitzvah. Now that you've done the mitzvah, mission completed. Mission completed, that oyer shel kedusha goes back and is waiting for your neshama to come and bask in the glory of that oyer. That'll already be eternal. That'll be forever. So how much energy are you going to have as how much oyer you have created? You know, if you have higher batteries, right? A stronger battery, the light is stronger. You have weaker batteries, weaker voltage, the oil, the light, is weaker. Your mitzvah creates oil. That's the battery. That's what charges. That's what creates that oil. Starke mitzvah, tremendous mitzvah, greater oil, greater Gan Eden for you. You create your own Gan Eden. Every man's Gan Eden, when we talk about Olam Haba, is the Olam Haba that you have created. It's not that there's a Gan Eden over there. This is Reb Chaim's mahal. Not everybody goes with that mahal. This is Reb Chaim and Nefesh HaChaim. It's a fascinating thing. That's the Schar, he says, Olam Haba. Shumaisa yidei hodo matzmoi, again, she'acha predas napshoi me'aguf. That finally when a person's neshama leaves his body, hu ho'oile lehis adeinu la'azbiya, it is sent to the Gan Eden to be able to enjoy, to delight, v'tzachtzochois ho'oireis v'akoichois v'oilem es hakdoshim. The neshama will be able to delight in the spiritual joys of the higher world, shen nitoisvu, that grew, then it's rabu, the mouth of atoivis. That's a Gan Eden where your neshama is going to bask in. The Gan Eden that your neshama is going to bask in is the Gan Eden that you have created through your ma'asim toivim. So there isn't just a general idea of an olam haba, and you go to that olam haba. That was, there's a lot, you imagine that it could be 5 million seats, rows of seats, and if you deserve, you may sit in the front row. If not, you'll be in the middle row, maybe even the back row. Back row in Gan Eden is also not too bad. Okay? Back row in Gan Eden is better than a front row in Gehenna. Talk about them. That's not the idea. The Gan Eden you go to is the Gan Eden that you have created. The Olam Haba that you have created through your mitzvah. So we are responsible for our own Gan Eden. We realize that. It puts us into a different perspective and a frame of mind in terms of what Achrayas should be. I think we should stop at this nekuda here. We'll continue much next week and take a look at the sheet because there's a couple of fascinating things that we should try to finish. So let's take a look, Rabbi Isai, at the sheet. Having said what we have seen, what we have learned right now, we take a look here, the second item on the sheet. And this is going to actually be something similar to what we have learned. That a person's Gan Eden is as much as you have made it. No two people's Olam Haba is alike. Your Olam Haba is the Olam Haba that you have created through your Maisim. It's more and more, better, better. Or a weaker Olam Haba. A weaker Gan Eden. A shvacher Gan Eden. It's what you have made for yourself. That's going to be your Gan Eden. Similar idea. Says in Pirkei Avos, brought down the Sefer Mishalov, it's brought down others for him as well. This following word, it's a haflo actually. The haflo, which is in the Hagdom of the Chiddush haflo, the Rebbe, the Chassam Sefer. But in Perek days, in Mishnah Yisavos, it says they have a zoy be mitzvah kalah b'kachmura. A person should be careful equally about to do all mitzvahs. A person should discriminate. He says, I'm only going to do right the mitzvahs chamuris. The very important mitzvahs, so-called. No. Be careful to do even what's called a mitzvah kalah. Even what appears to be the easy mitzvahs, the light mitzvahs. Because you don't really know what is the schar of any mitzvah. So you don't know. So you're going to pick and choose. You may pick and choose the wrong thing. Because you don't really know which mitzvah gives you the maximum schar. We have over here, Rabbi Isai, Hiksha Agoyim Rupinachat Alevi Horovitz Batzal, Balaflo, in the Hagdom of Chidush HaPol Nashas, he asked the following question. It may not be a day Matan Schorish or Mitzvahs, if you don't really know to evaluate the Tzav HaMitzvah, Kesev Yekayim Odom, it says, right, the Mishnah says further, it says, Have a Mechashev Hefzid Mitzvah Kenegat Schorah. But before a person decides to abandon a mitzvah, because let's say you assume you have something more important to do, you can earn a lot of money instead of doing the mitzvah, make a cheshbon, first of all, how much you're going to gain by not doing the mitzvah, and how much are you going to lose, right? How much are you going to lose by abandoning the mitzvah? But the question is, how can I calculate cheshbon if I don't know how much the mitzvah gives me, and I don't know how much to lose either? You just told me now, I don't know, shenap tideh matan schor shal mitzvahs. So kesed yikai modam is having mechash of hefzid mitzvah keneged schorot. The mitzvah said that we should calculate the importance of the mitzvah, how much you stand to lose if you don't do the mitzvah, and so on and so forth. How can I make all these cheshbonos? How can I make an accounting of that if I b'chlal don't even know what the schar of a mitzvah entails? The floor says the following chiddush. The tiratapi hamuvim b'gemara, there's a gemara, there's a ma'aseh that says the schum daf pei zayin. Gemara says the following. Ma'aseh b'echot, there was a ma'aseh of a person, sheshochat. There was a person that shechted an animal. Now, actually, when I say shechted an animal, you know, there's different halachas whether you shecht an animal or you shecht a bird. If you shecht an animal, then there is no din of kisu adam. If you shecht a bird, then there's a din of kisu adam. Here we're talking about the mitzvah of kisu adam, so then we're talking about not shechting an animal, really, we're talking about shechting a bird. So the ma'isa that a person that shechted, and of course, the next step would have been, what would be the next step? To take offer and cover the blood. It's a def- Beresh and Mitzvah and HaTorah that you have to do Kisui Adam. Turns out somebody came and he chapto is the Mitzvah. Somebody, the Shaykh checked it, so Kisui Adam is his Mitzvah. Somebody was standing nearby, he wanted to grab a Mitzvah, so he went where he picked up a clod of earth, or a glob of earth, and he went and he was Mechata the Adam. So it comes out, Reuben checked it, he was supposed to do the Kisui Adam with his Mitzvah, Shimon comes and steals the Mitzvah away from him. Ma'isa Be'echot Sheshochat, V'kodem Chaveru V'kisas Adam, he says, right? He grabbed it away. And Gamliel paskin that he owes him 10 zehuvim. In other words, you took away a mitzvah. It seems that he evaluated the mitzvah. What's worth a mitzvah? Right? If I steal something from you, I have to pay back the value of the item. You steal a mitzvah. So what's the compensation? So the Gemara tells us, if Gamliel was machayv, you stole the mitzvah of Kis Adam, you owe him 10 zehuvim. Oh, let's say it's $10. How do you put a label on the mitzvah, 10 zehuvim? What does it mean? Maybe a million zehuvim. Where does Rav Gamliel come to impose this figure? Asara zehuvim. L'chayre asara zehuvim b'davka al shumo. Where does this figure come that to compensate him by stealing the mitzvah from him, that he pays him 10 zehuvim? Says the Haflo, and here's what Haflo says. El Rav Gamliel nokat skum b'yalme. The Haflo suggests that Rav Gamliel just merely designated a figure. What do you mean? As a test. He designated a figure, Uben Tzu Usoi. By mentioning that figure, Bikesh Livdoik, he wanted to test the person at Kame Shova HaMitzvah, the Einof Shobala Mitzvah Miti. He wanted to test, what is the mitzvah worth to you? What the floor is trying to say is, it's an amazing thing, and again, it's a frightening thing, and maybe if we think about that, we should stop to think every time when we do a mitzvah, our attitudes. We always know this tremendous tzchar for a mitzvah. This tremendous tzchar for a mitzvah. According to the Haflo, you know how much the tzchar of a mitzvah is? What the mitzvah is worth to you. If the mitzvah is worth to you only $5, that's all you're going to get. A scary thing. If the mitzvah is worth to you $1 million, that's your tzchar. In other words, you are kriveya, the tzchar of your mitzvah. The Haflo suggests, when Gamliel says, that the ganav should pay to the shoychid, 10 zehuvim, would expect it that the shoychid would say, what do you mean 10 zehuvim? It's worth $1 million. He didn't say anything. He's okay, he was content with 10 zehuvim. If you're content with 10 zehuvim, that's all the mitzvah is worth. That's how the Haflo suggests. The Haflo says, let's just go to the next paragraph. So, Bizeh Novin. Hatana Pesach, the Tana begins. First he says, have a zoya b'mitzvah kala b'kachmura. Be careful to do all the mitzvahs. Chain after your day, matan chon shal mitzvahs. You know why? Now we have a new understanding. You know why you don't know the tzchar b'mitzvah? Because the tzchar b'mitzvah is not the same by anyone. The tzchar b'mitzvah is according to how you value the mitzvah. So being that the tzchar b'mitzvah is according to how much you value it, the zoya mishum shebemis ein kitzvah l'tzchar mitzvahs. There is no fixed amount of reward. Ach im kach tmur. But then the question is, if there's no fixed reward, if there's no fixed, so the Tana goes on further to explain what we said. If there's no fixed char, so what is it? So how much is paid? So the Tana goes further. We tell you to make the chayim. According to the chayim that you make, if you say to yourself, davening with minyan is worth to me $50, then that's all that the schar of that mitzvah is for you. If you it's worth more, then the schar of the mitzvah. That's what it means, have a mechashe, because you make the calculation, according to what it's actually worth to you. So it means that a person like can learn a glad gemara, can be sitting and learning, and it comes out, he has an opportunity to make $20, and he closes the gemara. He has now shown that $20 is worth more than a glad gemara. But you know what? That's your glad gemara for you. It's under $20. It has to be less than $20. The frightening thing, according to our floor, this is the way the floor understands this. And Mamela, he says, and we have this in the bold letters here. According to how you evaluate the cheshivas of a mitzvah and the cheshivas of an avera, he points out, here he gives a practical moshul. Let's say a person was machal Shabbos because he wanted to earn $5. Right? The Murat Asar is the Huvim. What has he shown? Nimtzo, he has now shown, Shekach Yikor V'Cheshuv Bein of HaShabbos. He showed that the Shabbos is worth no more than 10 Zehuvim. Balkein Gam Schoroi Tzmura Shmira Shabbos. Yeah, he says, Asar is the Huvim. That's a frightening thing. So the parallel that we see over here, like we just saw in Nefesh HaChayim. What is Gan Eden? What is Olam Haba? Gan Eden is what you have made it. You have your own Gan Eden. You have your own Olam Haba. Tzchar of your mitzvahs, we see from that floor, is also what you make of it. Reuven and Shimon both put on film. Reuven and Shimon both will do the same mitzvah, and yet Reuven will have 10 times as much tzchar as Shimon. Both did the same mitzvah! And by the way, they did it with the same bread, with the same kavana. But if Reuven evaluates, to him the mitzvah is choshev so much more, his tzchar is all that much more. The Odom B'yatmo, he says, the haflo. The tremendous chiddush. So I want to show you, B'chaim Shemlevish, in one of the Shemusim says the same thing. B'chaim Shemlevish is much, much later, of course. But let's take a look, a few lines. Reb Chaim, this is number 3. Chaim Shmulevich is in Maimer Choptes, Chopshin Lamed Aleph. The middle of an essay. Reb Chaim says as follows. He says, Hine Yedua HaKusha. He says, it's very well known, the Kasha. Eich Mishal Mitzchal Rishoyim Bad Maseim HaToivim Boilom Hazeh. We know when it comes to Rishoyim, we have a cloud, Schar Mitzvah Bahai Al Malekah. Kosh Baruch does not pay Schar in this world. He reserves the Schar Toilom Haboah. It's much more than Olam Haba. This world is all limited. But Rishoyim HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them all the tzchar in this world. In the next world, they have nothing left. The lashon of the pasuk is, U'mishalim l'soinov el ponov l'havidoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays to the enemies. The Rishoyim HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays them, even enemies. Even Rishoyim also have mitzvahs. Here and there. They did a mitzvah here, they did a mitzvah there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays them l'havidoi means to take them away from Olam Haba. So the question is, Reb Chaim asks, Chaim Shmulevich asks, we know that the reason that there's no tzchar in this world, there's not enough in this entire world, there's not enough resources in the entire world, there's not enough resources even to pay for one mitzvah, therefore tzchar mitzvah is not paid in this world. So how when it comes to Rishon, because you brought the pay them on this world, there's not enough resources in this world to pay them for one mitzvah. So how come when it comes to Rishoyim, does the Kadosh Baruch Hu underchange them? Does the Kadosh Baruch Hu give them less than they deserve? Says Reb Chaim, now look at the words of Reb Chaim. U'mezeh onu l'meidim yisoid mavil. Mavil. Mavil al Orayin. We learn a frightening yisoid. What's a frightening yisoid? She'erach haschar ha'magia lo'odom avokiu mitzvah. Eino yoyser is not more. Mimah sho'odom atzmoy marich u'machshiv et ha'mitzvah. The schar is not more. And by the way, this answers the famous kasha. Yaakovino buys the bechayra from Esav with the nezid adashim. Is that a fair deal? Esav was tricked. Was he not cheated? He did not know the value. He did not know the value. If someone has a diamond, and he just does not know it's a diamond, he thinks it's a plain stone, and he sells it to you, right, for $3, but you know it's a diamond, you have a chiv to tell him. You know that you're selling me something. You don't know. He doesn't know. So how's that Yaakovino buys the entire bechor from the zid adashim? Okay, you can metzino beisav shemochet bechorosoi the lechem on the zid adashim for a pot of lentils. Vaharibaru hadover shekol hoyin di alme. All of the fortune in the world does not amount to the value of bechor. Harayu ka'ayinu ka'efes l'umas erach bechor. Vim ken eich niskayim hamekach. How does this deal, right? How is this deal valid? We know if you defraud someone more than a sixth smekach bottle, the deal is over. Bottle mekach. Here he was defrauded many, many times over. Kohen the Yalma cannot pay for the value of Bechayra. And here he bought it from the Zid Adashim. The answer is, says Bechayim, very poshit. Who owns the Bechayra at this time? Esav. To him, it's not worth more than a zid adashim. It's not going to be worth more. The erech and the value of a mitzvah is according to how much it's worth to you. If the eighth of the bechayr wasn't worth more, it's not going to be worth more. The kivan shaloi haricha b'yaitzim akach, being that Esav was not marav, did not value it more than a zid adashim, harehi be'emesh is erach. It's not he was cheated. It's not going to be worth more. His bechayr is not worth more. Esav's bechayr is not worth more. Yaakov's bechayr is going to be worth a lot more. Kohen the Alam is not going to be able to pay for it. But what Esav is giving over, Esav is giving over a very cheap pechayre. Why is it cheap? Because to him it's not worth more. If to him it's not worth more, it's fucking not worth more. He says, ki erech hadover nerach, because the value of something is evaluated, al pimashu shove the ene bolos. Look what he says here in brackets. In ben toiris soigiris ha-gemore. As a ben toiris closes his gemore biklal hefzid misuim, because of a particular hefzid, because we are nechshon this many times. Clearly, absolutely, it is possible, appropriate. You know why? Because they don't value the mitzvahs much more anyway. So all the mitzvahs that they have done, what is the mitzvahs worth to them? In their eyes, it's worth very, very little. It's not going to be worth more. The value. And this again, what the Nefesh HaChaim says, that's our Olam Haba, that's our Gan Eden, the Gan Eden that each and everyone has built. I just want to be Messiah. We won't do the whole sheet, but just mamish three lines. And this is actually from Shlomo Volbe, from Sefer Al Ishur, brought down a Sefer called Meshiv Nefesh, number 4. Turn the sheet on the side, and he brings down from Rav Hutten. He brings down a Moirig in Memre. You know, Rabbi Sai, people sit and they hear stories about great tzaddikim. In other words, Eliyahu HaNavi revealed themselves. They say by many tzaddikim, by the way, in the Hagdomah to the Lev Eliyahu of Rebbe Lapian, is brought down that Rebbe Lapian, number of incidences where he had Gilu Eliyahu, going back as late as our time. There's even a story there that Rav Shlomo Shadron brings down, that the Imre Emes, who's masik with Ruach HaKodesh, he met Rebbe Lapian, he said to him, that in that time you had Gilu Eliyahu, and he was very embarrassed, sort of like to admit it. Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian. Personal hope for some Seifer of Adonavad and so on and so forth, the Gedolei Lo'ilam from as early back you go. We know many, many stories of Gilu Eliyahu, Tzadikim at Gilu Eliyahu. So a person would hope to have this chus one day, to be able to be Zoichet to have Gilu Eliyahu. Says Rav Hutna, he says, Gilu Eliyahu. And what is Eliyahu? Eliyahu is a Malach. Godless Odom is greater than a Malach. If you're Zoichet, to be not Gilu Eliyahu, Gilu Yatzmoy, to realize the chashivas of your neshama that you have, that's more than Gilu Eliyahu. As great as Gilu Eliyahu is, it's only seeing a malach. Godless Adam that Shechaim told us is much greater than a malach. But we don't recognize it. We are not mevinim on our godless. We don't know what we have. We're not a maven on our talents. We don't understand Gedulas Adam, Kedushas Adam, what a neshama means. If we should be able to look within ourselves and reveal our own godless, Gilu Yatzimoy is greater than Gilu Eliyahu. Look at the words, how it's written over here. Rav Shlomo Volbe brings it down. Maybe Rabbi says, I agree, Hutnai says, what's down there? Bal Pachad Yitzchot, Mosar, Kipam Yoshev HaSabim Slobotke. He told us about the altar of Slobotke, Hagoyin Rodnotin Svi Finkel, Zechusa Yogin Aleinu. So the altar of Slobotke was sitting in Talmid of Hagdoylin. We're sitting with the great Talmid of Yitzchil Leharer Bekoil. And he started saying, he was thinking out loud. And the Yadav Sabotka was saying, HaNishomo Gedoyle Mimalochim. The Nishomo that any Yid, that even a Pusha to Yid, even a Ish Pusha, the Nishomo that a person has is greater than a Malach. Nimto. Shim Yesh Lodom Kilu Biyatmoy. If a person is able to descend, right, to descend, look into himself. Godu Gilu Izeh Megilu Eliyahu. Ach Kamek Koshehu, however, he said, L'hagiyale is the Gilu Shalemet Al Atzmoy. But it's very difficult that a person really should be able to be a maven on his godless. He looks at himself, he says, he doesn't see it, doesn't understand it. That's a part of the hidden part that a Kodesh Baruch Hu blew on the Shalemet to a person. The person's not able to see it. Great people understand it. But you have to understand, as great as Gilu Eliyahu is, Gilu Yatzmoy is even greater. That is godless Odom. Godless Amalochim on the one hand, but Alochim is greater than the hour we learned. Le'umosom baruch yomeru. Alochim cannot say Kedusha unless le'umosom, only because they are connected to the avoid of Klal Yisrael. That is the tremendous godless that every Yid possesses. Every Yid, which means each and every Yid has that koyach. The Avada, you can understand, if we have that koyach, we have the opportunity, and we'll certainly, if we want it, we can have a little bit more Tzatir Shemaya to come a little bit closer to realizing Choshik, a little bit of our potential. Hirosim, we should be Zeichet. Also, I'm going to give myself an email.